for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
November 9th, 1989. History is made. The Berlin Wall falls. Years pass. Decades end. A new century is born. In 2021, one wall remains at Revolution Radio. The wall between Studio A, the Wisdom Circle, and Studio B, the Raw Deal. The wall falls. History is made. Wisdom Circle plus Raw Deal equals the event. James Fetzer. David Scorpio. Giuseppe Baffangolo. History is made. And now, the event.
Well, welcome to the event. Giuseppe and I are here, and we have a return engagement from a sensational guest who has done a great deal of work in the past. He was a 32nd degree Mason. He has his own show. He's on top of his game, and I want to begin by asking about what's known as the Cloward and Piven strategy, which is to overwhelm the United States with individuals such as are flooding through the gate to overwhelm our system. All economists know that you cannot combine a welfare state with open borders, but that appears to be exactly what we have going on here. Blackbird 9, give us your thoughts.
Greetings, good sirs. Happy Wacky Wednesday, and thank you so much for having me back on the show. For your listeners, I guess of the two big items that I think people should really research, you know, that the newly awakened, as we call them, is one, go back and research the Kalergi plan from the 1920s of how to weaponize migration, non-white populations into white nations to change their demographics and basically destroy them. And then the Cloward-Piven plan from the late 1960s, from none other than Columbia University. And basically you had two professors at Columbia University who were complete Marxists. These were people who were trained by the original communists, Marxists that came over from the Frankfurt School when they got ran out of Germany. In the 1930s, they came to New York and set up shop at Columbia University. And then that next generation of Marxists came up with the Cloward-Piven plan. And basically, it's another case of make your enemy live up to their own book of rules. And so by exploiting that pathological altruism and live and let live philosophy of Western civilization, they said, we can destroy these Western nations, especially the United States, by setting up these massive welfare systems that are completely unsustainable. And that became known as the Cloward-Piven Plan. And that is what we're seeing rolled out today.
Yes. Michael Reich and Janice Andrews have written that Cloward and Piven proposed to create a crisis in the current welfare system by exploiting the gap between welfare law and practice that would ultimately bring about its collapse and replace it with a system of guaranteed annual income. They hope to accomplish this by informing the poor of their right to welfare assistance, encourage them to apply for benefits, and in effect, overloading an already overburdened bureaucracy. I mean, this is a monstrous plan to bring about the economic collapse of the United States, Blackbird. It's just stunning.
Yes, and this is very much in line with my research on fourth and fifth generation asymmetrical nonlinear warfare. You know, one of the other big things I urge people to do is to get out of their mindset of what war is. That, you know, you don't have battle lines anymore. You don't have people in, you know, uniforms, you know, like a football team on a scrimmage line and boundary, you know, national borders. What you have is cell warfare and a full spectrum warfare, where basically they say anything that can be weaponized and used against your enemy should be weaponized and used against your enemy. And so using welfare as a weapon is completely in line with this strategy. And it also, last time we talked about the Cartman drama triangle, which is more Columbia trained university people, you know, trained Marxists, as they call themselves, where they basically set up this 3D basically a triage or tertiary game theory. Instead of us versus them, you know, most conflict is, you know, team A versus team B. What you have is a tertiary game theory where it's let's you and them fight, where you have an instigator there that says, you are a victim group, and that group over there, that's, you know, that's your oppressor, and I'm your enabler, I'm your ally, so I'm going to, you know, support you in your war for liberation, et cetera, against those evil oppressors over there. And of course, you can always tell who the oppressor group is because it's the person staring you in the mirror. You're the enemy that they want completely destroyed in your own land.
And you mentioned, of course, the Kalergi plan. It appears to me they're using all of the above, not to mention they're out to murder most Americans with these vaccines. Giuseppe and I are very much in agreement that the pandemic is a mass illusion, that there's no evidence to support it. There is increasing evidence virtually by the day that it's a mental, a mind conception and confusion that's being used to generate desire for these vaccines, where I hate to say it, but virtually everyone in a key position here turns out to be Jewish. CDC Director Rochelle Walensky is a Jew. CDC Deputy Director Ann Shula is a Jew. CDC Chief of Staff Chaim Berger is a Jew. CDC Chief Medical Officer Michael Wolf is a Jew. CDC Director, Washington Office, Jeff Resnick is a Jew. COVID Czar, Jeff Einitz is a Jew. COVID Senior Advisor, Andy Slavitt is a Jew. HHS Secretary, Xavier Becerra is a Jew. HHS Assistant Secretary, Rachel Levine is a Jew and also a dude. Pfizer CEO is a Jew. Moderna's vaccine was created by a Jew. Johnson & Johnson CEO is a Jew. Teva is an Israeli pharmaceutical company with a Jewish CEO. Regeneron Pharma CEO is a Jew. AstraZeneca CEO was to take over as CEO of Israel's Teva Pharmaceuticals, which means he's a Jew. But go ahead and take that vaccine, you stupid guy. Blackbird, I mean, it's just stunning what's going on here. And of course, there's a history of Israeli PMs, including Bibi Netanyahu, expressing contempt for the United States and wanting to bring about its complete and total annihilation.
Oh, I completely agree with you. That's one of the things when you start noticing patterns and you start seeing the same pattern over and over and over again. And this is when you have to start addressing your own cognitive dissonance and your own programming. You know, we talk a lot about on my show, garbage in, garbage out, and it's easier to fool people than to convince them they have been fooled. And so this idea of setting yourself up for as the eternal innocent victims, and you just repeat that in the Mockingbird media over and over and over, and anyone who dares try to point out your crimes, instead of, you know, being judged on the merit of those crimes, you immediately play the eternal victim and say, oh, you can't accuse me of any wrongdoing because that's anti-Semitism. And when you look at the origin of that word, that was exactly what that Pavlovian control word, that magic spell, was designed to do. It was designed to be a control word to basically stifle out any criticism of Jewish activity, criminal activity, organized crime, but especially the necessary, the ends justify the means philosophy of the world Zionists as they were in the 1800s formulating their plan for world domination. And that, you know, we are going to basically destroy these Western countries from within. We are going to destroy Christianity. We are going to breed out white people because we see them as Amalek, and the only thing that stands between us and our ambitions for world domination is these uppity white Europeans that have a sense of ethics and objective truth. And so they came up with all these control words, you know, anti-Semite, racist. Trotsky invented the term racism to basically, you know, squelch down any criticism when these Jewish companies would, and you know, later NGO groups, would move invaders into communities. And anybody who dared to say, hey, this is a replacement population, they're causing crime, they're taking our jobs away, they're changing the fundamental fabric of our society. And of course, you were called a racist, and they made laws to basically punish that. Then, you know, sexist, you know, homophobic, Islamophobic, these are all control words. These are magic spells to basically squelch you down to, so that you don't speak up, and also to tag you in that triangle as, oh, that's a bad person, that the mob should turn on this bad person because they suffer from wrongthink. They're counter-revolutionaries. You know, they don't support diversity. They don't support a kumbaya society. And so this is what we're up against. This is a very long game these people are playing. And they're playing for keeps, and they're playing.
Hey, everybody. Hey, this is Mitch. I just heard from the from Giuseppe. He said his power went out again. He's just getting back online. So we should have Jim and company back here in just a minute. Hey, this is Revolution Radio, live radio with real world happenings. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Sometimes the defecation hits the rotary oscillator. The wind swirls about. The traffic telephone pole gets a pole gets taken down by traffic. The internet blinks out. So many things around the world that are real. Let me get back over here to Chatsy. And here I am. I'm counting on them. I'm just riding along and where are they going? I'm trying to cook lunch. Hey, hopefully you guys can hear me now here on Studio B and Studio A. Got Giuseppe's back. Looks like he's got share screen coming on. We're going to be back here in a second, ladies and gentlemen. Sorry about the power outage from the District of Criminals is sucking the life out of Northern Virginia. When will Giuseppe move to Franklin County? That's the question. I hear audio.
Here, I'm back. Jim, can you hear Mitch Blackburn?
Yeah, I can hear Mitch and I can hear you, Giuseppe. And I Blackbird 9 finished his comments. I was turning to you, Blackbird.
Well, hold on. What happened, guys, is the power went out here again. So you guys dropped off of Revolution Radio for about 7 to 10 minutes. And
really?
Yeah.
I have a safe local copy if we need it.
Evidently, I learned that StreamYard will keep going without me as the person who loaded it. That's good. So it may have still been going to Twitch. But anyway, I believe, Mitchell, can you hear everybody now?
Yeah, I've got everybody.
Okay. So you guys might want to summarize for the Rev Radio audience the last 7 minutes.
Well, it was rather important. It has to do with an article published by Edward Henry that the CDC plans on house arrests and lockdowns and evictions and relocations and concentration camps for healthy Americans who haven't taken the jab. This is completely lunatic. I published his blog on mine at jamesvetzer.org. You're going to be in a state of disbelief. Listen to this. In a document titled Interim Operational Consideration for Implementing the Shielding Approach to Prevent COVID-19 Infections in Humanitarian Settings, the CDC plans on implementing house arrest, neighborhood lockdowns, evictions and relocations, and internment in concentration camps. That is not hyperbole. The CDC has posted this strategy on its CDC website. The strange thing is that the plan by the CDC is not a strategy of quarantining sick people. Instead, it's a strategy to protect uninfected people the CDC has determined are at risk of dying from the disease from getting COVID-19. In essence, it is a backward strategy calling for the quarantining of uninfected persons. In all of medical history, the strategy has always been to quarantine the sick. The CDC plans to quarantine the healthy to prevent them from getting sick. The tyranny resulting from such a strategy is obvious. And Blackburn, as I mentioned before, the power went out. After serious consideration, I suspect the CDC's latest version of fear porn, which is most unlikely to occur in practice because it would lead to a national bloodbath, but might inspire some who are reluctant to take the jab on very good grounds to surrender to their apprehension and take it after all. Your thoughts?
Well, again, I go back to the asymmetrical warfare, fifth generation warfare aspect of this. And Edward Bernays, who is also a chicken swinger and the nephew of Sigmund Freud, in his works on propaganda and manipulating public opinion, he outlines exactly of how to use these non-governmental organizations and the media, the compromised Mockingbird media, to basically set up a super government that is over all these other governments that will be manipulating them to the will of their agenda. And so this idea of setting up a super government is what we're seeing with organizations like the CDC, where you have full authority and zero accountability. I did not vote for the CDC, you know, but yet we have the CDC violating natural law, the rule of law, under this guise, this banner of authority of public health. And this is written about in the later works of people like Cass Sunstein, Echo, 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 who is the husband of Samantha Power. We know her from her time with the Obama administration of setting up all of these NGO groups and setting up all these clergy groups that are destroying these countries and changing the way the medical industry is structured from the bottom up. And we saw, especially during Obama's Obamacare, that turned American medicine on its head. And one of the things I was talking about when we had the power outage was after I was blacklisted from engineering for the newbies, I was a trained engineer, electrical computer engineering professional. And after my whistleblowing, I got blacklisted. So my next career, coming back to my Appalachian mountains and seeing the shambles that you have a completely demoralized, decimated population that is being invaded by all of these non-whites. You know, it's amazing. And everywhere you look is a Jew with an NGO that is setting this up, bringing them in, providing them health care, and at the same time, taking control of all the media and taking control of all the hospitals and all the wellness centers, et cetera. And under the banner of philanthropy, we saw this complete turnaround where these communities taxed their population, built hospitals for the public good, and under Obama, it was decided that, oh, we can't have that, so we need to privatize all these hospitals. And so you saw all this Jewish money coming into the Bible Belt of the U.S. South and all these other areas, but especially the U.S. South Bible Belt, buying up all of these hospitals from the local governments and turning them into some sci-fi nightmare of these bully white coats that just think that they are the absolute authorities on everything, and there's no longer patience. You're cattle to these people. You are a cash cow. They've got no time for you at all if you don't have any money and no insurance. But if you've got insurance, they are going to put you in the system to kill you and take all your money. And you're going to probably thank them for trying to help you with, help you with your health concerns, right? And it's complete weaponization at every level of the medical syndicate. And that's what I'm doing now, is acting as an advocate, especially with elder care, trying to protect people and just make them aware of what is going on with all these so-called philanthropist groups moving in and changing the fundamental aspects of healthcare in their communities and the education and the overlap where, you know, you're saying you can't go to school unless you get a vaccine. You can't get a job unless you have the vaccine. And you can't go to university unless you get the vaccine. And this is what we're seeing. And like I said, this is warfare. This has nothing to do with healthcare.
Oh, I couldn't agree more. Giuseppe, go ahead. Pick it up from here.
Well, I would like to get both your gentlemen's thoughts. By the way, Blackbird 9, phenomenal to have you back again. And hopefully this will become a regular thing. Two titans, Jim Fetzer and Frederick C. Blackburn, together is a treat for me, and I'm sure for the audience. And I'd also like to let people know that Scorpio made it safely to Southern California, and he's acclimating to the culture shock from the Ecuadorian jungle to the Southern California jungle. So, but he'll be back September 11th. And I talked to him. He's got a cell phone now, and he'll probably jump in on one of the shows in the next few weeks once he gets used to it all. It's been a whirlwind, so he sends his greetings, and he's safe and sound. My question for both you two gentlemen is, Scorpio and I in our shows would always say everything you need to know to exist in America, you can learn from the Godfather movies 1 and 2. And so what you have is a global organized crime syndicate. The head, the capo di tutti capi, the captain of captains, is the Rothschild usury parasitic banking cabal, right? That's the head captain. But the right-hand deadly assassin is Big Pharma, especially since 1986 with their biologics division, which is the Quaxination division. None of this is any longer based on science. This is based on scientism, which you could also argue is corporate science. And so what I mean by that is real science is practiced by people like Francis Rossetti, Dr. Judy Mikovits's mentor, Judy Mikovits, Robert Malone, the guy who created mRNA gene editing technology that the vile satanic chicken swingers have usurped and are using in all these insane death jabs. They're, you know, we call them for convenience vaccinations, but they're not vaccinations. They're injecting and literally genetically modifying the organ, the human body. It's a crime against nature. It's a crime against the divine. So my long-winded question is this. I personally think that these Satanists are getting desperate because this whole narrative is falling apart. More and more people are stepping back and saying, Uncle Lenny died after he got the vaccine. Here we go, a break. I'll continue after the break.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Is the Zabatean Frankist Illuminati mindset of this is completely crazy by European, you know, sensibilities. But once they got committed to this plan, they're stuck with it, right? And to me, one of the things they did not count upon in all of their designs in the run-up to 9/11 especially is the power of the internet. 9/11 was the perfect crime. And they would have gotten away with it because they controlled the media, they controlled all the investigators, the FBI, they controlled all the government. But what they didn't count upon, this is what always makes the perfect crime fall apart, is there's always that one thing that they did not factor on. And this is called the unknown variable that will always take down the perfect plan. And so in the Overton window model, you know, we talk a lot about the Overton window, your perception. You know, you have policy. That's what pretty much 99.99% of the people agree, that if you drop a baseball on planet Earth, it will fall down, not up, right? Popular opinion, sensible opinion, acceptable opinion, radical opinion, and then unthinkable. The thing outside, you can't even conceive of it, right? This, you know, the so-called thinking outside the box. And so when people like Robert J. Ammon, who's the traitor from MIT, who, you know, this country, United States, put him through school at MIT, and he became one of the leading people on economic game theory modeling. He goes to Israel to work with the Mossad and all these other Jewish agencies to wage war on the West. And in his mindset, I don't think because of his age, et cetera, that when they were designing this in the 90s, he had any clue as to how powerful the peer-to-peer communications capabilities of the new media of the internet would be and how much of a threat it would be to their designs.
And that's, of course, why they're practicing such massive censorship. YouTube, Google, Facebook, Twitter. I mean, it's outrageous what's going on here. And because these organizations are functioning as agents of the state, they are going to be violative of the First Amendment and liable for massive suits. This is the rationale behind Donald Trump's lawsuit against Twitter and the other social media giants. Brilliant in its conception.
Right. And you think when you start looking at these so-called tech giants, you know, how they operated, how they moved in and basically took control of the U.S. telecommunication grid, it was an invasion. And all of these guys have a pedigree going back to they were either trained as part of the Mossad's Unit 8200, Unit 269, Talpiot, or part of MAGA. And so this idea of we are going to bypass the laws by this new thing called community standards. It's, we're a private company, so we can set up our own community standards. We don't have to adhere to free speech and privacy rules. And when you look at like Google, Sergey Brin is the most proud Maccabee ever. He completely hates the United States, everything about the United States. He hates white people. He hates Christianity. He was born in the Soviet Union and then moved in to take over the United States telecommunication grid via a Google. And so read what, or listen to the YouTube video, if you can find it, from the late, great Anthony Lawson, who was one of the early 9/11 truth movement advocates, and what he had to say about Sergey Brin and Google and YouTube censorship and, you know, what they were doing to shut him down in his work to try to expose 9/11. And so you just see the method of these tech giants shutting down the, you know, the truth, because the truth is going to expose them. So therefore, the truth has to be silenced. It has to be hidden. And if necessary, we have to take out the truth keepers or the truth advocates. And you, this is what we saw happen last week with Graham Hart. Graham Hart was talking too much truth and they had to shut him up and make an example of him. And he's now in prison in the UK for wrongthink. And they're celebrating worldwide like, oh, we just got the worst person ever. After years of gang stalking this individual, we finally got him and we threw him in prison because he was telling the truth, and that's anti-Semitic.
Oh, the what has occurred with Graham Hart, who is a wonderful, bright, sweet guy, a true, you know, talented musician, singer, and entertainer, and came up with this phenomenal song called Hoax Train that anyone who believes the lies of the Holocaust is, again, just in another type of cult, the cult of the poor chicken swinging victim who is out to cut your throat and stab you in the back. But, oh, feel so sorry for the Jew. Oh, you know, like Dennis Camino, the great Dennis Camino pointed out, you do the numbers and in the labor camps, there was barely 30% of Jews. The majority was the Romani, which is people call him gypsy, but that's like calling a black a nigger is to call the Romani a gypsy. And Catholics were the majority in these labor camps. And then, oh, the poor put upon Jew, though. Oh, the Holocaust. And you look at that, and then, you know, using Google to against them, there's a search mechanism in Google that allows you to track historically and chronologically the use of a word. And until the 60s, the word the Holocaust never even was in the public lexicon. And then the Bernays-like mind control scam began. I remember when I was a little boy, they had the Sunday night movie of the week with Exodus. Oh, those poor heroic chicken swingers. Oh, they're so noble. And I'm like, no, they're not. But it's only gotten worse and worse until now, where we're looking at literally nothing but lies. And so again, Graham Hart, this poor man who is just expressing his opinion, a factual opinion on at that. And they, like you said, BB9, they went after him and they were trying so hard and they wore the guy down. And I mean, this is, you know, I say on my show all the time, this is beyond propaganda, beyond gaslighting. This is, we need a new word called Rubiconing, because they're crossing the Rubicon, and these traitors in the British government, the American government, allow this to happen. And this whole idea of hate speech as a law used as a weapon against honest, truthful people. Hate speech is nothing more than speech the chicken swingers hate. And that is getting back to your earlier point, which is why do they call truth tellers anti-Semitic or racist or homophobe? It's because all they have is the mind control ad hominem trigger. They cannot discuss it, these instances, factually, because if they do, then they're immediately, you know, exposed. It's like a intellectual game of chess. You can put them in checkmate in about five moves for anything that the communist communitarian initiative tries to tell you is real. It's all just Rubiconing, don't you think?
Oh, I completely agree. This is psychological warfare. And like I always say, the problem with psychological warfare is it works. And when you go back and, you know, research in the 1930s, Pavlov's work and you always hear about Pavlov's work on conditioned reflexes, but few people know about his work on induced neurosis into healthy test subjects. And Freud's first major paper was Studies in Hysteria. He wasn't trying to cure hysteria. They were trying to figure out its causes so that they could be manipulated in a lab and then factor or industrialized and rolled out as a weapon. And this is what they're doing, is weaponizing thought to turn people against themselves, turn people against each other so that they can be easily defeated. You know, the enemy that just lays down and die is easier to defeat than one who will stand up and fight for something. And so all of these demoralization tactics that we have gone through since COVID, 9/11 started, is where basically you take a normal thing and then you just make it abnormal. And then you take an abnormal thing and you make it normal. This is Kabbalistic magic. It's turning everything on its head. And so we have a normal flu season in 2019. And then suddenly that normal flu season is the biggest plague ever to hit the world. And everybody now has to take this experimental vaccine. And if you ask any questions, we're going to destroy you. And so this is right out of Stanley Milgram's experiments from the 60s on authority, where you have the authority figure there in the white coat who's telling you, you have to do this, you have to do this, you have to do this. And if you refuse, then, you know, we're going to punish you. That type of system. And just how effective these authoritative systems are. And that was the key to the communist model, this intransigent authority. Yeah, you can't question us. If you question us, we will destroy you. We'll destroy your family, etc. And so that we have the entire West shut down for a year for nothing. nothing but media pushing the hype with all of this bad propaganda. But on that bell curve of, you know, intelligence level, you know, you're going to see these people are going to believe everything they see on TV. These are people are going to believe 90% of what they see on TV, et cetera. And so you, it's a numbers game. So if they can get enough people behind this by repeating the same lie over and over and over again, just like Lenin said during the Bolshevik Revolution, a lie repeated often enough becomes the truth, then we can impose our agenda without ever having to change a law. And this is, again, the Edward Bernays super government that, you know, we're seeing with the CDC and these medical association experts that are pushing this complete, you know, the great reset, as they call it. They're going to destroy it and then rebuild it.
The great reset indeed. And it turns out Klaus Schwab is actually a Rothschild. So this is the, you know, massive effort by the great Jewish banking empire to take control of the entire world. Every now and then we see a glimmer of hope. Just in, Senate passes anti-CRT bill in razor-thin vote. Dems now on record supporting the Marxist propaganda. This is from the Gateway Pundit. Listen to this. In a late-night vote on Tuesday, the U.S. Senate passed an amendment that prohibits federal funds from going to pre-K programs in K-12 schools that teach critical race theory. Every single Democrat except one, West Virginia Senator Joe Manchin, voted against the legislation, which passed 50-49. The measure was sponsored by Arkansas Senator Tom Cotton, who's been one of the leaders in the fight against the anti-American propaganda for over a year. Its passage effectively banned CRT from being taught in schools until after the 12th grade, when students are free to pay for the indoctrination themselves. This is a stunning development, and we have 49 Democrat senators voting for this Marxist propaganda, this totally un-American. That ought to have lots of reverberations at midterm elections and thereafter if we can get an honest vote. Where Mike Lindell's in the midst of a 72-hour marathon exposing one way after another how this election of 2020 was stolen, which the Democrats, again, to a man virtually, want to deny and insist was fair and above board. Absurd. Just absurd. Giuseppe.
Well, Jim, it is absurd. And if you think about it, there's a very simple global search and replace that completely solves the critical race theory and exposes it for the mind control it is. All you have to do is take that book, get convert the PDF into Microsoft Word or Google Docs, and then search for the word white and do a global replace with the word Jew, and you completely understand critical race theory and how it actually works with this. These subhuman parasites have, though they appear white, they are certainly not white. They're not even human, realistically, with their actions dictate that assessment. And so they are the ones who are brainwashing the impressionable, dumbed down generations. And this is, you've got all these weak-minded elementary school teachers and junior high teachers and high school teachers, and they all, are unable to critically think. They lack emotional maturity, psychological, spiritual maturity. So they're all like, oh, I just want a kumbaya and the UN. I trust the UN and I trust the World Health Organization and I trust UNICEF and I trust the World Bank and they're going to make this a paradise. Well, actually not. They're all subhuman Satanists who are out to wipe you out if you happen to be of European descendancy. And so the greatest tragedy is these white shitheads in America who are facilitating their own destruction. So do that search and replace, and good for Tom Cotton and the West Virginia fella, Manchek. He was a pragmatist because there's no way he would have been reelected had he not voted, because in West Virginia, they get it. I guess let me form a question. You know, here's my question to both of you guys. Why do you believe now, Blackbird 9 mentioned that they lost control of the internet and it's become a global information sharing of, we all are under the oppression of these same parasites and they didn't want that. And now they're trying to lock that down. But I mean, they've really, like I say on my show all the time, it's like the late night ESPN poker. They're going all in to try and create this great reset, take control of this world with a one world government, digital currency, blah, blah, blah. We all know what their agenda is. Do you think that's why they're doing it? Because they're desperate. They know that their window of opportunity is closing quickly.
Blackbird.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought he was asking both of us. So I was going to let you go first. But yes, one of the things I always go back to is after 9/11, when Alan Zabrowski made the very astute comment that the world Zionists are playing this as an all or nothing exercise. They are all in because they know if they lose this one, their opportunity will never come again. And if they get exposed, then it is going to be the worst blowback in world history. And I see that that is where we are now. And so they are, by their own system design, locked into carrying this through. But like in The Godfather, an intransigent adversary, the synagogue of Satan is an intransigent adversary. You can't reason with it. You can't negotiate with it. It wants you either dead or enslaved. Full stop, period, end of story. You can't change these cultural Marxists and their belief system. They want your way of life. They want you gone, and you cannot coexist. I always love seeing all those coexist stickers around here in the new boon after we've been invaded by this cabal. And we were talking about the teachers. One of the best examples I've seen is Appalachian State University, which is part of the University of North Carolina public education system, moved in this total communist named Sherry, and I call her Jezebel, Sherry Everts, from out of state. And her mission statement was to bring diversity and equity to Watauga County, because in her opinion and those that were supporting her, this area was too white and too Christian, and that campus was too white and too Christian and had backward beliefs. And she has done nothing but impose all of this cultural Marxism, critical race theory, and any of the students that dare try to push back on it are destroyed over there. It's interesting that her whole thing is about ASU, is about inclusivity, et cetera. Everybody's welcome here. We got to get the diversity numbers up. And what they are using the university for is to completely change the demographics of the county. They have almost doubled the size of the student population and the faculty population with all out-of-state non-white people. First thing she did when she took office was to hire all the old white guy professors and
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
If you think for one second that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourselves. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. The time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener supported radio station on the planet, not giving up. Revolution Radio.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job? That Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons in the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and freedomslips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, it's wonderful to be back with Blackbird 9 again. Blackbird, you were making some points when we hit the break. Please do continue.
Yes, and it's so good to be back. This is great talking with both of you gentlemen today, and you're both so wise and so knowledgeable all of this, and it's so nice to be able to talk about these things without people throwing rocks at me, casting stones at blackbirds.
No kidding.
I love that. But anyway, but yeah, well, before the break, we were talking about the model and how this community here, which was Mayberry once upon a time when I was, you know, grew up here, we had this out-of-state communist, Sherry Everts, put in position of power, Appalachian State University, comes in, cleans house, sets up this woke agenda, and starts mandating all these cultural Marxist philosophies and all the critical race theory. One of the things she mandated was that all the entire student body and faculty all read the book about the so-called massacre of the killing of the homosexual out west, that they made the play about, et cetera. and I'm trying to remember the actual name of the book, right? It escapes me offhand, but it was basically just total fluff for the poor, poor homosexuals and intolerance, because she was trying to push the LGBTQ agenda here in town. And anybody like myself who tried to point out that that book was all about rewriting history, because it was actually just a homosexual drug deal gone sideways, that, you know, the Mockingbird media, you know, turned it into this glamour story and this, you know, poor, poor, you know, homosexual story, and that she mandated the entire student body and faculty read that book. I mean, that just gives you an idea of this, and that she was censoring anybody that would dare criticizing or even trying to tell the real story of what happened. And at the same time, Adams Publishing moved in and bought up all the high country media. And this is, you know, a Jewish publishing company came into the Appalachian Mountains and bought up all these distressed local newspapers, because the internet really destroyed the, you know, the newspaper industry. And so it just became this big echo chamber of this, you know, cultural Marxist agenda between the university and the local media. And she's getting paid over $375,000 a year just in her salary. Who knows what she's making on all these back, you know, backdoor deals, et cetera. But this just gives you an example. And one of the things she did after Charlottesville was a student, or supposedly students, put up an Identity Europa banner on campus, which she used to launch her No Hate App State campaign. And it's interesting that the banner went up on like a Friday, was immediately taken down. All it said was Identity Europa, right? And that was a symbol of hate. And suddenly the entire county is just flooded with all of these billboards and signs that, you know, No Hate App State, hate has no home here. And if you've ever done any type of printing project, you know that the turnaround time for that big of an order would take weeks, if not a month, to take care of. But yet, the very next Monday, we were flooded with all these banners, billboards, et cetera, of No Hate at App State. She brought in the ADL, the SBLC, the NAACP, and her inclusive campus suddenly was banning Identity Europa. You can't have a white identity group on campus that represents the people who built this town and that campus. That's just how clown world this is. You know, all those white people from Europe, you've got no home here now. That was the message. But yet you can have every other identity politic group out there that is perfectly welcome, except for white people. And like I was saying earlier, you know, trying to get into the job market up here, I had to basically, you know, become independent, because the policy up here for all professional jobs was white men need not apply.
BB9, I just put up on the screen that App State has a class for freshmen called Confronting Hate, which is the run by a chicken swinger named Martin Shane Halls. And why did the good folk of North Kakalaki, especially the rural mountainous types, why did they accept this? Why didn't they run these Jews out of town?
Oh, that's the other thing. Money. All those philanthropists came in to a struggling economy with just bags of cash and just started making massive donations. The Levine Center here, the Schaefer Center, you know, just millions and millions of dollars. The Schaefer family paid millions of dollars to build Watauga County's first synagogue. And of course, they did not put a menorah on their big cement marble slab right across from the county courthouse, mind you. That's where they put the temple, right there by the courthouse. No, they put that, you know, Synagogue of Satan hexagram, which has nothing to do with Judaism, but that was their symbol on their temple. So all this money just came flooding in. And the other thing was, after 9/11, you had a huge push of Zionist infiltration of all these churches through people like Jim Hagee and his Christians United for Israel, which happens to be actually run by Ehud Barak's cousin, David Brogue, right? And, you know, John Hagee is just the front guy. But all of this, you know, push on these Protestant churches that, you know, Israel is our ally in the war on terror. If you're a good Christian, you have to support Israel. And Jews are the, you know, chosen people. They're God's favorite. And we also got our Holocaust Center, the Appalachian State Holocaust Center, right? And so it's just this massive, coordinated, well-financed, well-organized psychological warfare operation where they went in and just flooded with PR. And anybody like myself who tried to speak out against it was silenced by Mockingbird tactics. I was banned from my own local newspapers from commenting. Yeah, that's just how insane this is, because they couldn't give me a reason, you know, other than they just didn't like my facts. You know, I didn't say any bad words. I didn't threaten anybody. Everything I said was completely factual, but I was saying the wrong thing. So I got banned not only from the Watauga Democrat, but the entire Adams Publishing platform. I mean, I've never been banned that far before, but you know, that's how they're playing this.
After I organized and participated in a symposium on academic freedom, are there limits to inquiry, using JFK, 9/11, and the Holocaust as examples, my Wikipedia entry was gutted. I mean, gutted. Wiki is a completely political op. It's okay on basic issues as science and a lot of history, but anytime you get anything remotely political, it's a Zionist op, and we all know they fear speaking out to debunk the Holocaust myth, because Jewish power, political power, is rooted in a Western sense of guilt over the Holocaust. If it turns out that was fraudulent, and we know on innumerable grounds that it was, including, for example, there are 236 references to 6 million Jews in dire straits and fear of loss of their lives in the international press beginning in 1890, all before the Nuremberg tribunals. We know the number is mythical, derivative from a disputed passage in Leviticus that claims the chosen people can return to the promised land only when they're minus 6 million who've been consumed in the flames. But even that requires an interpolation, because there was no word in Hebrew for 6 million. We know the International Committee of the Red Cross was keeping exclusive, extensive documents and details on the age, the sex, the race, the ethnicity, the religion, and the cause of death of everyone who died in all the camps. In 1993, they recalibrated the number where the total dead from all the camps was 296,081. And none of them died from being put to death in a gas chamber using Zyklon B. I mean, the situation is simply absurd, absurd.
Right. And when I was trying to bring out points like that during one of the Appalachian State Holocaust summer symposiums, you know, I'm an old white guy. I remember when symposium used to mean a free discussion of ideas. And I was basically brought aside by some Jewish professor from New York, dressed down like I was a naughty fifth grade student, and threatened to have me arrested if I did not leave the venue immediately. And yeah, that is the kind of mind, just total bullying. But at the same, as I call it, cry bullies, you know, where they're total bullies, but yet they play the eternal innocent victims, right? And so this is the mindset that you're up against with these people. They are completely intransigent. As long as you're agreeing with them, they're fine. But the second you disagree with them, they will completely destroy you. And the book I was trying to remember was The Laramie Project, which was a 2000 play by Moses Kaufman, echo, 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 about the murder of Matthew Shepard, a homosexual man. And the big lie of this was it was a drug deal gone sideways, which was the real case of this. This is just a total degenerate party culture, right? And, you know, homosexual, just the total depravity party culture. And, you know, he ended up dead, and they basically ran with it and made this nationwide campaign about, oh, those poor homosexuals. And they actually brought in, the year that they made the entire staff and faculty read the Laramie Project, their student theater company did a production of the play, and they brought in this guy's mother to give the commencement speech that year. Right. I mean, this is how clown world this place has become. And like I said, anybody who dares try to speak up against it is completely shut down.
Giuseppe.
That's stunning. I'd like to revisit BB9. I know we spoke when I guest hosted Dennis Fecho's along with LB Bork Inside the Eye Live this past Saturday, August 7th. And you observed how surreal it was that you saw your show, which was a good spirited holiday show with, we have a certain camaraderie, all Scorpio and I are the new guys, but you, Breiser, Sean and Maleficus, Paul English, Andrew Carrington Hitchcock, you guys have had a behind the scenes chat, and now we're included in it, and we've all gotten to be good friends. You know, we're all fighting the same fight. And what was it like to see your show, which was just a lot of fun and banter going back and forth, used as one of the instances of putting Graham Hart in prison? How did you feel when you saw that?
Oh, this was the most Kafkaesque thing I could ever experience as a writer, I think, is, you know, I didn't even know the trial was going on because there was a gag order preventing Mr. Graham Hart from even reaching out to me for help. You know, none of his solicitors or barrister reached out to me and says, oh, by the way, your Christmas winter solstice show is now considered criminal evidence under the Crown Court. I find out after the April trial that this has happened, and he was forced to plead guilty to 8 counts of inciting racial hatred, right? Which I think is kind of interesting because all these chicken swingers assure me that Judaism is not a race, right? So how could it be inciting racial hatred by making bad jokes at Christmas about chicken swingers, right?
Yep.
But there it was that, you know, my winter Christmas show, you know, where I bring together all the guests from the previous year and we talk about what's happened and what we see coming in the future. Well, I don't think any of the of us saw that they would come after Graham Hart and use that show as evidence in a criminal trial to put somebody in prison for 32 months, which is what he was originally sentenced to under this bogus kangaroo court. And then when I tried to reach out to the Cornwall Live staff and actually comment how surreal it was that, you know, that feeling when your yearly Christmas show is entered into evidence in a criminal trial, they deleted my comment. I tried to delete it, you know, comment again, they delete that. And the same thing when they did their victory lap pieces this past week, you know, he was sentenced on Friday, last Friday. And the Cornwall Live just did this triumph piece of, you know, we finally got him, you know, that evil white local guy that's thinking wrong things about the chicken swingers. And I tried to comment on it. All my comments are deleted, right? It even got picked up by the BBC. It got picked up by the Jerusalem Post. But every one of those articles was all, you know, these triumph piece that we finally got this evil anti-Semite hater guy. And the comments, I think the only thing more surreal than seeing my show and my comments being used in this way is that, you know, my comments are wrong think. I'm not allowed to speak up for the rule of law or, you know, speak up for free speech. But people who have these horrible, twisted, sick, degenerate prison rape fantasies that they're wishing on to Graham Hart, that, oh, we hope you get raped in prison, that's allowed to stay up in Cornwall Live. You know, so Chris Matthews at Cornwall Live, salute to you for your community standards there in the UK. You know, I'm so glad that my father and all my uncles fought in World War II to keep England free.
Yeah, man. And right below your listing was Scorpio and my Wisdom Circle show of December 23rd. So
what did you think?
I was stunned and laughed at the absurdity of it, because that show was high humor and everybody was in good spirits, and you know, we had all had a great time on your show, so we just kind of continued on to ours. And you know, I mean, this is everything that's been warned by Solzhenitsyn, by all these great writers, these great visionaries, warning of the satanic synagogue of Satan and what they're trying to do. All these warnings have fallen on deaf ears, and now you've got these virtue signaling, weak-minded, know-it-all, know-nothings with their tattoos, with their piercings, with their bizarre, harsh haircuts and dyeing their hair weird shades of rainbow, and they're so proud of serving this new world order. It is clown world. What else can you call it?
I think that's all really serious stuff. Let me announce we are going to take calls after the break. The number to call in to speak to Blackbird 9, Giuseppe, and me, 540-352-4452. I repeat, 540-352-4452. Mitchell will field your call and get you on the air with Blackbird 9, Giuseppe, and me. Take advantage of this opportunity. Giuseppe, further thought.
Well, I have another question for Blackbird 9, which is, I never thought the Deep South and Virginia used to be the South, but once you crossed over into North Carolina, that was the Deep South, in my opinion. The Deep South could be taken over by this synagogue of Satan malignancy. And, you know, clearly you have friends and associates down there in the Boone area who see what's going on. What is the new normal like for these people who've lived there their whole lives and now suddenly they have to worship at the temple of deviancy, of homosexuals, of transgendered, of these radical, insane communist Jews? What's it like for those people who are seeing their very way of life being eaten away like the cancer that the chicken swinger is?
Oh, it is a nightmare. It's a dystopian nightmare where you have all of these good, hardworking people whose families have been in these mountains for generations, going, like my father's family goes back to colonial times in these mountains.
Wow.
And to see this long range plan of, I go back to our so-called Great Depression that my father and my mother, lived through as children, that, my parents were both depression babies. Yeah, that wasn't a depression. That was a synthetic manipulated event.
Yep.
That was the American Holodomor, just like the so-called Irish potato famine. Yep. Was the Irish Holodomor, like the Armenian genocide. This region was still recovering from that. We had this wonderful prosperity after World War II, where all these brilliant white kids, went to school, came back and started building all of these modern industries and textiles and manufacturing in this area. And it was just this, wonderful time where we had a good economy in the South. And then, after the 80s, you start seeing everything change. And then during Bill Clinton's administration, you saw all the jobs going to Mexico and going to India and going to China, and all those factories and manufacturing places shutting down. And what remains are being invaded. Like Tyson came in and bought up. We had one of the premier modern food processing plants for poultry called Holly Farms in Wilkes County. It was written up as, this is the new model of how to do modern mass production with their chicken farms, healthy chickens and feeding communities at a low price, paying workers a good wage. You know, that company put so many people through school, put so much food on the table in this area, bought so many Christmas presents, and then Tyson moves in and fires everybody and replaces it with third world workers. So you've got nothing but Mexicans and blacks working at Tyson now. Tyson's mandating that you got to get the jab if you're going to keep working there. But basically NAFTA destroyed the economy under Bill Clinton. And then what they didn't take out to demoralize the population, the Sackler family came in with their white coat salespeople and their little pretty cheerleader, you know, pharmaceutical sales reps, just handing out oxycodone, oxycontin, and all those other highly addictive opioids that they affectionately called hillbilly heroin.
Right.
You always call the thing what your enemy, what the target is. It was hillbilly heroin because that was weaponized biological warfare. That was chemical warfare against a target population. So you've got this entire population here that has lost everything. Their kids have gotten strung out. Her mom's gotten strung out. Her grandma's gotten strung out. And then, you know, the fentanyl crisis. You got MS-13 running all kinds of drugs into this area through the I-40, I-77 corridors. And, you know, so you've got this massive asymmetrical warfare going on against the people of these Appalachian Mountains to destroy it so that they can be replaced with a different demographic group. Just look at what's happened to Virginia coming down the I-95, I-85 corridors through Virginia. There are no white people in those corridors anymore. They have all been pushed back. And the, you know, the Thomas Jefferson, you know, Mason type people, you know, Madison and all those guys, you know, they're considered the enemy now. You know, those evil white people, those, you know, they're all racists and haters because they're trying to hold on to a way of life and they're being systematically destroyed. And so these same people, these same white coats that just handed out all of that Sackler candy, like it was, you know, like Tic Tacs, are the same ones saying you need to get the jab. The vaccines are safe, effective, and they're free. We're here to help you.
Yeah.
We're coming up against a break. I reiterate, you're welcome to call in the number 540-352-4452. Mitchell will field your call. 540-352-4452. With Blackbird 9, Giuseppe and me, we'd be glad to have your call. So 540-352-4452, and we'll be back right after the break. Blackbird, you may be able to squeeze in another sentence or two.
All right. Well, I, again, appreciate you having me on. I'm looking forward to some good phone calls. Ask me anything. AMA, right? So it's Wacky Wednesday. Ask me anything.
Great to have you here. Giuseppe, a final thought before the break?
MS-13 should not exist, and yet they're supported by the federal government as a private non-government organization to disseminate the hillbilly heroin and the fentanyl. It's just absurd.
Those white children, those are good marketable materials. That's where a lot of these kids go missing from. Those Mexicans that do work by and then not.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Hello. Hello.
Stand by.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it, that the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes, that Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and freedomslips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Have a couple
of callers.
Hey, Jim.
Lost them and they have to call back. Giuseppe?
I'd like to interject. This just came through my email. Breaking news from the Washington Post. The headline reads, "Pregnant women should get the coronavirus vaccine," CD says, "after finding no increased risk of miscarriage among the vaccination." That is the lies that that clown car, the CDC, is about. There's ample forensic evidence that hundreds, if not thousands, of women are miscarrying from these deadly jabs. And so yet they come out and the Washington Compost parrots these egregious lies. It's outrageous.
Well, not only that, but they're having an epidemic of heart attacks now among young women in Israel, which is the most highly vaxxed country in the world. I mean, it's just shocking. They're up 25, even 50% in age groups where there should be no heart attacks whatsoever, Giuseppe. I mean, this is such a criminal action by the CDC, and you can appreciate why Americans who naively assume they're being given truthful information are being played to their great detriment. I mean, women who take the jab, I mean, it's absurd. We have physicians decrying this.
Yep.
These are women who are being told they shouldn't even drink a cup of coffee while they're pregnant, and now they're being told they should take an mRNA vaccine that's going to change their DNA without any long-term studies. This is criminality of the highest degree. This is inhumane.
Agreed. Jim, we do have two callers. The first caller is from area code 210. I believe it might be Bruce from Texas. Is that you, Bruce?
It sure is. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Oh, just fine. Hello, guys. Y'all like old friends, man. I sure like talking to y'all. Awesome. The Democratic Party, we should just rename it the Frankfurt Party, because that's essentially what it is.
Yeah.
And Hitler's biggest crime was throwing out the parasites in 1933. That's when Judea declares war on Germany. And we saw what that society was able to accomplish in that short time frame before World War II. Just imagine if we didn't have these parasitic banks and these Frankfurt School indoctrinated idiots running our country. It's just crazy. I also want to draw a parallel to the USSR dissolution through bankruptcy. I think that had the same plan for the United States. They're going to break it down with they did it to the USSR by the arms race, by making them go bankrupt through the arms race. They're doing it here through welfare and destruction of the economy through the COVID shutdowns. And they're going to try to break it apart. I just hope we can rise from the ashes.
Yeah, excellent point.
Any Here's comments?
Confirmation is from Investors Watch blog, highly reliable. Beginning of heart attack epidemic in Israel. 25% increase in cardiac arrest and heart attack between the ages of, get this, 16 and 29. 83.6% increase in heart attacks in women aged 20 to 29. 53% increase in women aged 30 to 39. I mean, Giuseppe, that's just absurd. No one in those age groups should be having a heart attack.
Jim, I'm stunned that the Israeli government is doing that to their lesser brethren. I would have thought that Israel would have been getting lots of saline solution injected into their veins. What are your thoughts, Blackbird 9?
Oh, it's... again, just insane that people are taking this and going back to the miscarriages and stillbirths. I personally have been on the ground with people that have gone through that. And there's nothing more demoralizing to a mother and to a young family than to lose a baby. And it's criminal to see these young, healthy mothers that everything is fine, everything's going through the pregnancy, everything's going as perfectly as it could be. They get the vaccine, and 3 weeks later or 2 weeks later, you're hearing they're in the hospital, the baby died, the baby's on an incubator, you know, these kind of horror stories. The baby's never going to be right now. And this is the level of monstrosity thinking that these people are. These are, you know, Sabbateans and Frankists. I mean, these people worship evil. Read their doctrine. I mean, this is the worse you can be, the better. They worship evil. What is the most sadistic way you can demoralize your enemies? And you look at what they did during the Bolshevik Revolution to those poor, you know, Russians. You look what they did to the Armenians. And you think they're, you know, going to stop. And it's interesting that, you know, we see the stats out of Israel. And one, you wonder, okay, well, how many of those are the Palestinians? And like you said, the lesser brethren. And one of the things I always go back to with the Maccabee strategy, you know, Judah Maccabee that launched the war against Greeks, was he was just as quick to take out a fellow Jew who wasn't living by the law as he would be taking out a Hellenistic Greek. And so I wonder, you know, how much of this is cleaning house of the degenerate element of Israel, according to these purists that are launching this, you know, mass genocide of the population.
Really, truly disgusting. We do have two other callers standing by.
Hey, can I throw in one more thing there, Jim, before I go? Because I can't stay on the line, as you're aware.
Hey, Jim, Bruce is asking that we let him say one more thing because he's got to hang up. So
go ahead. Go ahead, Bruce.
Okay, I'm sorry, caller, whoever's holding. Jim, you remember Jesse Ventura's appearance on True TV? He had that show Conspiracy Theory. And this is also points to Blackbird 9's recent comments. The FEMA coffins and him and Alex Jones went and found a huge stack, like a cache of plastic coffins. And they went to they kind of ambushed Representative Steve Cohen in his office, and he was befuddled, didn't know what to say. And that was this has been planned for a while, I believe.
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt about it. You're 100% black. Where did you want to pursue that?
Oh, I just know exactly what you're talking about. And I go back to the Deagle statistics that they removed, where they were projecting by 2025, the U.S. population would go from 326 million down to 100 million. So where are those bodies going to go in those FEMA coffins?
They always project what they're going to do, what they have done to their victim. And that goes with the Holocaust, I believe. Jim, I wish you would bring back on Jesse Ventura. I'm not sure if you've spoken with him since his last appearance, and he was driven off the platform by a troll, in my opinion. But I would like to hear him again.
Jesse was in wearing masks, and he was challenged about it. And it was a case where Jesse was mistaken. He wasn't driven off by trolls.
He was mistaken, in my opinion, too. But you know, there's certain ways that you try to convince people. You don't shout them down and belittle them and insult them. But that's just the style some people have, I guess. But I thank you for taking the call.
Thanks, Bruce. Thanks for calling. We have another caller at the 256 area code. Caller, give us your first name and your state and join the conversation. 256.
Well, hi, Jim. This is Daryl Wayne from Alabama. And
hey, Daryl.
Hi, Giuseppe. How you doing, buddy?
Good.
Listen, I haven't had the pleasure of talking to you, Jim, or Blackbird before, but I'm the recipient of many interesting hours of your conversation, and I couldn't pass up the opportunity. So I have a direct question for BB9, and I just really want to thank you for all the information work you've done on your breakfast show with exposure of the occult and your research. It's brilliant and it's on point. My question for you is, I completely agree with your explanation of or the sourcing of the origins of this is Franco-Sabbateanism morphing then into the British political and monarchical structure, and then it takes on Reform Judaism going into Zionism, politically weaponizing this culture and philosophy. And making it, not only are they articulating it, but they're employing it into a political financial strategy of British Zionism, English socialism. And so I understand, and I can't thank you enough for your dogged pursuit of the chicken slinger. Having said that, can you expound a little bit, BB, on this idea of how this British Zionism has been brought forward up through the mid-1800s into creating Bolshevism, World War I, World War II, and then changing their business model into this corporate governance superstructure that we now see?
For all the wonderful words of support. Yes, the best thing, go back to those Breakfast Club shows. We've got them archived on Spreaker.net. So go to Spreaker.net, Blackbird Nine's Breakfast Club, 250 shows plus or minus. Every week, but real quick is, go through, research the development of the Priory of Zion in 1099, that when the Knights Templars came back from Jerusalem in 1126, the rise of Talmudic Judaism, or the Kabbalah, developed into Zabatean Frankist philosophy, which developed into the Illuminati, which developed into Zion, which is this idea of a new world based on absolute power Spotify's master slave system. And unfortunately, there's no place in the world order for white Europeans, and especially no place in the new world order for Christianity. So that's the short.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, BB, I've actually done that research. I'm just trying to bring it up to date with the people that are. This is operational through British Zionism, their political and intelligence structure. That's what we're dealing with today. As the hidden hand is the British Zionist intelligence system. And I don't think people actually get this. They keep talking about the Jews, but who are they? Well, it's the British intelligence Zionism. And
school got thrown out of Germany. They came to Columbia University, and then they started the OSS, which ramped up the sentiment to Germany out of the. You get MI6, you get MI5, British intelligence, you get the CIA in the U.S., and the Mossad in Israel, and all of those are together to this agenda.
Yeah. I'd like to interject quick, Daryl.
Yeah,
Jim and BB9, Daryl is the co-host of a couple awesome shows with the great Rebel Madman Mike Gaddy on Revolution Radio Sundays and Fridays. And Daryl, Jim, you'll find this very interesting. He's a brilliant guy. He was a retired commercial pilot. He was the first commercial pilot to fly over the 9/11 rubble after 9/11, and he saw the molten post-nuclear lava that was going on. So Daryl is a brilliant researcher, and his shows with Mike Gaddy are just awesome.
Oh, my apologies. Tip you, good sir, for your research. Big fan. I didn't realize it was that. Wow. Okay.
I'm humbled to still be here and to help in the fight. And that was my wake up call, guys. From that point on, I got serious, and I've listened to your stories too, BB9, where, you were doing instructional design work and putting on classes, and I have somewhat of a background in that as well. And, it's always been obvious to me, including Mr. Fetzer, is, you're the kind of guys that do research, you do critical analysis, critical thinking, and deductive reasoning, and you investigated these things like the crime that they are. This is an ongoing crime, and I've just sort of dedicated myself to doing my part, if you will, and. But we've all benefited from all of your work. And I've spent a lot of time doing the old English 1600s forward and the this construction of how the British or the English were co-opted and subsumed by the Zapatean Reformed Judaism coming into Zionism, and how they politically have leveraged that all the way through the 1800s and the 1900s to get us to where we're at. And every time you look at every situation, whether it be Donald Trump or you look wherever you dig into, you find British intelligence. Now, an interesting point, I think you might find it really interesting, is that you brought up something really interesting, BB9, you brought up OSS and Franklin Delano Roosevelt and MI6 and the CIA. Well, it's a really interesting thing about 1918, Franklin Delano Roosevelt and Wild Bill Donovan are classmates at Columbia, and they have the same British handler. Interesting, huh?
World, isn't it?
Now, I have a quick question for you, Daryl, and Frederick. Do you consider people who go down this line of research like Dean Henderson, and they always refer to it as the crown. Do you agree that that's a good descriptor for what this Zionist British intelligence, the crown?
Daryl, you want to go first?
I think that's for Daryl. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Daryl. Do you consider it the crown?
Oh yeah. Well, yeah. It There's a lot of different strands on that web, but the word crown, and I'm not sure if I am particularly familiar with this man you named, his research or his thesis, but the word crown, and when I hear that in context, it's the Crown Corporation of the City of London, the square mile of the banking or the corporate banking, international banking center of probably the planet is right there in the square mile, and that's the Crown Corporation, which is maybe in an earlier iteration was known as the East India Trading Company, which was delegated certain sovereign responsibilities or privileges from the British Parliament and the Crown, the monarchical crown. So there's two different crowns, and the British crown, corporate crown, is the corporation, and they have a deep, interesting history going back into the 1920s during they initiated the collapse and the depression. The progenitor of that plan was Lord Montague Norman, who was the president, or I guess you'd call him the chairman, director of the Bank of England. And so the whole Roaring Twenties and the setup for pumping money was part of the Bank of England's plan to, you know, expand the money supply so they could collapse it. Interestingly, in 1933, about the same time FDR is coming in to do his part, we get the Bank of International Settlements. It's being established and founded in Basel, Switzerland. And you'll never believe who the first chairman of the Bank of International Settlements is. Well, it's Lord Montague Norman.
There you go.
And by the way, he's a Zionist, and that's just crypto for saying that he's a chicken slinger. So, you know, but it's a Zionist political. The thing I'm getting at is this British Zionism as a political force is to be found at the root of the League of Nations, the United Nations, and this is how, and the Council for Foreign Relations. This is all British Zionism. And they're here and they're present and they have an address, and people could actually identify them in the physical and positive versus the abstract. Okay. So, that's just my comments, but I really have enjoyed your stuff, Frederick, so much. And you too, Jim.
Well, Daryl, I think back as a guest on this show,
yes,
so we can spend more time
definitely
with you. Meanwhile, we have two other callers standing by. It'll be hard to squeeze them in. Scaredy Cat, but you must make it short and sweet. Scaredy, go for it.
Hi, Jim, Mitch, Giuseppe, and Daryl. So, Blackbird, you might not be able to answer since we have 4 minutes left. I admire you because you not only talk the talk, but you walk the walk, and which is to actually strengthen white culture and decent people's lives in general by you are now developing homeschooling as a side business. And I also am looking for math tutoring students. I am a mathematician. I used to program, you know, Fortran 77 back 30 years ago in scientific computing and PDEs, partial differential equations, computational fluid dynamics, CFD. And I hope you don't think me self-serving. Of course, I am being self-serving. But you did say Ask a Black Bird. This is Ask a Black Bird Wednesday. Normally I call from my landline. So in order not to murder or at least manslaughter our little brothers, the butterflies, honeybees, and ants, I'm talking on my cell phone right now. Hope you can see the numbers. So hopefully you can help me and I can also help you. I'm very loyal to my white teachers who I felt totally loved me, you know, my as a little kid in America, my Latin teacher, my geometry teacher, my, you know, photography teacher, all of them. So I'd rather help black, white young men. All my teachers absolutely 100% were white, and I would rather pass on whatever calculus and so on to the young man maybe near Appalachia. Sorry, I was too long, Jim, but sorry.
Oh, it's okay. Blackbird, your thoughts.
Well, thank you so much. It's always good to hear from you. Yes, come into either my chat room on Chatango, bb9tradingpost.chatango.com, or go to my public email, which is blackbird-9@live.com, blackbird-9@live.com. That's the public email for the show. And so you can contact me there, and I'd love to talk to you about what we're doing with homeschooling.
Excellent, excellent. We have one more caller to squeeze in, Sal from Colorado. Sal, here you are. You're sorry the time is limited. Sal, are you there? Scaredy, if you had a follow-up since Sal.
Well, Jim, I'd like to take a moment first before we get that to announce to everyone listening that beginning Friday, I'm going to take a summer sabbatical to work on my album, and I've arranged for the great Frederick C. Blackburn, a.k.a. Blackbird 9, to do a guest host residency, much like the Allman Brothers would go to New York and take over the Beacon Theater for 2 weeks. And Frederick's going to be having a limited collector's edition run of Blackbird 9's Dinner Club August 20th, 27th, and September 4th. And that is a must-listen-to radio. Only a brilliant guy or a lunatic would replace himself with someone infinitely better, but maybe I'm both.
Very nice. Blackbird, it's been wonderful. I gather you and I then will be co-hosting the event for the period that Giuseppe has taken a break to do his album. Am I right, Giuseppe?
If Fred would like to, that would be awesome.
We'll have to talk about that. I've got some scheduling issues during the day, but let's talk about that. Okay.
Daryl would be another option. Just sensational too.
Daryl is sensational, and Michael Ivey possibly as well.
No, thanks, guys.
The Caden, let's try Daryl or Blackbird if either of them can fill in. And Daryl should know I'd be glad to come on his show if he wants to do JFK. And Sandy Hook, or I'm very impressed with everything I've heard about him to this point in time. Let me just say,
it's my
opportunity for a final is Blackbird.
One quick point about you're talking about the Montagues. Fun fact, the Montagues claim on England in 1066 during the Norman invasion. And that's how they claim they came into the England and then set up their vast system. In fact, France has Abracadabra.
Listening to Revolution Radio.
Como va? This is Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. I pulled some strings and gotten you front row seats to my new show, The Perfect Triangle. Live Friday, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Revolution Radio Studio A. The Perfect Triangle is equilateral, three sides of the same length. In an angry, bipolar world, Three perfect sides reveal many truths.
Body, mind, and spirit.
Thought, word, and deed.
Conspiracy, propaganda, and truth.
Natural health, allopathic tyranny, and your body.
Freedom, globalism, and sovereign nations.
And so much more. Each week, the Perfect Triangle will blast through fake news lies, champion the natural way and natural law, unravel the Orwellian deceptions of our corrupt government, reveal the satanic evil of globalist banks and transnational corporations. Tune in every Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern, to Revolution Radio, Studio A, for thoughtful discussions with free thinkers. Your calls are always welcome. The Perfect Triangle, with Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. Join me, won't you?
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict.